I love the fact,
2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 15, was picked up from last week. I love the fact that I've got my chart here, my 1 through 7 chart of the feast. Just love it. Just review from last week. David is facing opposition. Oh my goodness, when you've lost some things and you're trying to get back where God wants you to be, some people work against you. And sometimes there's no hurt like church hurt. Sometimes the people who are in the congregation, sometimes the people that are other Israelites, the same kinfolk or whatever, will sometimes work against you when you're trying to get where God wants you to be and be restored and recovered. Let's look at the lesson. I think there's something here. We're going to pick up at verse 15 after he goes through the whole Shimei situation where he's cursing at him and throwing rocks at him. And we get those rocks as well because it's part of the process because we're with the king. Chapter 16, verse 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel who followed Absalom, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with them. Now, you know about Ahithophel. Let's just do a quick review. Remember, he was David's counselor. Remember back in chapter 15? Chapter 15, verse 12. It says, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo. All right. And so it was David's friend, his counselor, the one where David would get advice from. Very wise in this, or whatever. It's his friend. Perhaps that's why David wrote in the psalm, it was not my enemy that reproached me, because I could have avoided them, but it was you, my brother, my close friend, or whatever, that offended me. Sometimes the offense or the opposition will come from an unlikely place, and that makes the hurt that much more. Sometimes it'll come from a spouse that makes the hurt that much more. It'll come from a church member. That makes the hurt so much more. It will come from an unlikely place. That makes the hurt so much more. And so David is seeing this, but he prays this prayer. He prays this prayer. And we see that in verse 15, verse 30. All right. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and he wept as he went up. Again, we talked about that last week. David, a type of Christ, he's going up to Mount Olivet, and he follows those steps. He's humble. He's weeping. He's repenting. Step two, he's got a new mind, because when he gets to the top of Mount Olives, he worships. Now, here's what he hears when this happens. All right. Verse 31, he's in a good place. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. So even when you're doing the right thing, even when you're getting back to the Lord, even when you're establishing relationship, even though when you're making the right moves, you still might get bad news. I know this is just review, but you still might hear bad news. But he never let the bad news keep him from worshiping. So look what's happening here. He finds out that Ahithophel is with the conspirators and working against them. And here's what David does. Sounds like some level 5 stuff where he's executing mercy or whatever. David doesn't curse him out. David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. So he's saying, Lord, this weapon that's being formed against me, I know what Ahithophel is good for. I know what he does. He gives good counsel. Turn his counsel around so that it's not a weapon that's going to be used against me. All right? And that's his prayer. All right. Now, when he finds out the bad news and he prays this prayer, guess what happens next? Verse 32, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped, he never let the bad news keep him from worship. He never let the bad news keep him from church. Behold, Hushai, The Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. So right after he finds the bad news and he prays this prayer, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Hushai shows up. And toward the end of chapter 15, we see what he tells Hushai in verses 33 till the end of the chapter. And he tells Hushai, go back, and you see it in verse 34. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant here too, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So Hushai is in place to be used to turn the counsel of Ahithophel around. Al, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, if you would, because you look like you're studying, but you really ain't doing anything over here. Right, why don't you, if it's okay, can you get Lee's telephone? Because he's probably recording that. And that way he doesn't have to stand there like he's, you know, holding that or whatever. And if you could grab it and bring it up here so we could get this, because somebody else might need to hear this. Oh, by the way, and I want to celebrate Lee, because like I told you guys before, the last two lessons on this are on the website. It's under podcast. It's on the website. So thank you very much. And let's keep going. All right. Lee has been so awesome. You actually give Lee a hand. I mean, if you don't see the... What are you doing? Appreciate it. Okay. So now we're ready for the new stuff. Everybody set, lined up. You know, there's Frank. So here's what I want you to do as you go through this. Read the scriptures with me. And figure out what's happening in the story. And then figure out and answer this question. How can I use this story today? That's a big question mark. Okay. Understand what David's going through in the story. Look at it from a spiritual perspective. And then let's ask ourselves, what can we do? What's the relevance for us today? Perhaps it's more than a story. All right. Verse 15. Absalom and all the people with him of Israel came to Jerusalem with Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king. God save the king. Verse 17, and Absalom said unto Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? Basically, Absalom is saying, this how you treat your friends? I mean, you know, why are you here? Why are you here now? How come you're not with David, your friend? And Hushai is answering in the manner, because he's obeying the king. Hushai said to Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and his people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. Now, he doesn't really say Absalom's name by name in this, but, you know, he's just keeping it a little generic here. He knows who the real king is, and he's serving the real king by being there in the face of Absalom. I'll say it again. He is serving the real king just by being in that particular place, in that administration, in that government. He is representing the king. It may look like, I just said something else for all those who want to be politicians. It looks like Hushai is supporting that administration, but in fact, he's really doing what God wants him to do in that administration. Let's move on. Yes. I didn't see that one. I just saw that one. I guess the Lord wants me to know that. All right. Verse 19. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son as I have served in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence. And that's pretty much what David instructed him to say. All right. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. So we know Absalom is prideful. We know he's probably an expert in hair care products because he's got a lot of hair. But he's smart enough to realize, well, this is beyond what kind of comb or pick I'm going to use. I need somebody who really knows what's going on, so I'm going to use Ahithophel. And he asked him wisely, what do we do next? Now that we're here, what do we do next? Verse 21. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines. Common law wise, people he's kind of engaged to but has married, his concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. It didn't say he ever asked the Lord. It's just like the wisdom of what he was saying was as if he had come from the Lord, even though it may not have been godly counsel. You can stop me at any time if you see something there, but here's where I want to go to. What's happening in the story? And is there any relevance for us today? What do you see there? Let me just open it up before I lead you down a particular path. Yeah, observations real quick. You probably read this before. Maybe you haven't read it before, but, you know, you can look at this and you go, why do I care? But there's something there. It's more than a story. Okay, let me help you a little bit. Is this good counsel or bad counsel?
Bad advice.
Why do you say it's bad advice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all the people see it on the roof.
Yeah. Okay. Mac?
It just fulfilling what Samuel told me.
Come on, Mac! Nina, just go on and give him a little pinch on the cheek and tell you how much you appreciate the man of God over there. This goes back to Samuel chapter 12. And in Samuel chapter 12, after David has been uncovered, and Nathan comes through, he gives the prophecy. And so it's prophecy, it's the judgment. And I'll read it to you. 12:11-12. Well, let's start at 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uri the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of your own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, Absalom. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Meaning, in this life, in broad daylight, this is going to come to pass. So this is more than prophecy. This is judgment. This is the consequence of the mistakes and bad decisions that David made. Okay, but there's good news. Verse 12. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. Well, I guess that wasn't the good news part. Verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Yet they think. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. So even, don't get it twisted. Even though you made a mistake or made some bad decisions, it does not mean that God has not forgiven you. But you might still have to deal with the consequences of the mistake, even though God has forgiven you. Don't have to raise your hand or anything, but anybody still dealing with some of the consequences of mistakes, but God is still on your side. But you just got to go through some things. Oh, yeah. You got to go through some broken relationships. You got to go through some situations. You got to go through some financial. There's some things that we're still dealing with because of things that have choices we made or whatever. But it doesn't mean that God is working against us. You just got to go through that judgment.
Sometimes it lasts a long time.
Sometimes it lasts a long time. But if I know where I am on my steps, I can have peace. Oh, David's going to have to live with this for a long time. But he still gets restored, and his best days are still ahead of him. And you know what? Here's one thing. You know, and here's how I want to go out. As old as I'm getting, here's how I want to go out. I don't want to be known for the mistakes and errors I made. I want to be like David. Because the first time when you say David's name, the first thing you think of is not the Bathsheba, not the Uriah, not the sin, certainly not Absalom, not having to leave because his household is in disorder. What you remember about David is he was the man after God's own heart.
Amen.
And him following after God real hard just trumps all the mistakes and errors. And that's how I want to be. Oh, so we see that. Now, you said that the counsel was bad. But Max says, well, really, it's just fulfilling of the prophecy. Because God uses entities and politics and people and situations and weather and environments and things like that to bring to pass his plan. Oh, but I'm going to counter what you said. I think what Ahithophel told him was wise. It may not be spiritual wisdom, because, you know, it never said he went to the oracle of God. But politically and in the natural, it was good advice.
Bad for Absalom.
Eventually. But for right now, good political advice. Why do you say that? Why do you think David left the 10 concubines, the 10 wives in the house in the first place?
Who
said this? To show he was coming back. Wait a minute. Even though he was not there, even though his presence was no longer there, even though he was not, God gave me this revelation this morning. I did not see this before. It's not in my notes. Even though, oh my God, this is so good. Even though David is not there, his presence is gone. He has left this place. He's not sleeping on the good sheets anymore. He's gone, out of sight. He has every intention of coming back. Why is he coming back? Because he left his wives. To let people know, I'm coming back. I got two head nods and a smile. Somebody just saw what I just found earlier today. So, Ahithophel says, sleep with the wives that he left behind. Mess with them. Because when you do that, it'll make the people. So, because back in those days, if you did that to the kings, that means you're just assuming everything that the king has, the authority is gone. And so what he tells them here is that when Israel sees and hears that, you're going to be a board of thy father. And then the hands of all that were with thee will be strong. Because somebody is probably still thinking, well, even though Absalom's here, David is still the king. But if you do this, they'll start to see that the king's not coming back. This is a clear break between Absalom and David, the true king. God's choice, man's choice. And so Absalom is going to be in charge. He tells him, you do this thing, and everybody will be strengthened to follow after you rather than any lingering concerns they might have with David. Spiritual application. I know you're waiting for it. David's a type of Christ. If Absalom sleeps with those 10 brides, those 10 wives, you think David's going to be too excited about coming back to that after what Absalom's done to them? Probably not. But think about Christ. Who has he left behind?
His bride.
He left his bride. How much does... Wait. If David...
Oh, good gracious almighty. If David left the 10 concubines behind, it's a clear sign that his intention is to come back. But he keeps them there to run the house. But the enemy has come. All right, let me be careful with this one. But the enemy has come back to disrupt the management of the house. Let me just slap myself so I can keep moving. All right, so Absalom is messing with the bride. But here's the neat thing that we know about in prophecy, because Christ left the bride in the house because he intends to come back. And if you remember anything, if you know anything about the story, when he comes back, when David comes back, he's going to take care of the bride. Isn't that wonderful? So don't be discouraged or whatever if you feel like you're getting messed over or whatever, because he's coming back. So now, not only am I looking for what is the relevance of this story for us today, it's woven around end time prophecy and the ultimate plan of God, because the king will come back for his bride.
Amen.
Did you see that in the story?
I was just thinking that's why he's sitting there and you're up there.
I saw this morning. I'm sitting here going, look at God and the spiritual ramifications, because anything happening in the natural is going to have some spiritual consequences. And so here we see. So it is wise and worldly wisdom what Ahithophel is saying to Absalom. Because now you're making a clear and poignant break with the old king. And now nobody is going to have hope for what they were waiting for in David. All their hope is going to have to be wrapped around you. It's a political move. It solidifies his control of the kingdom. It was wise counsel if he wanted to maintain the things down here. But I think you guys said it was not wise counsel because it's a setup in the spiritual realm. Because God's plan is different from man's.
He was a good politician, but he didn't know the way of God.
Excellent politician. Oh, and you got to kind of wonder what's going on. And we'll see it in the next chapter. Ahithophel probably has a little revenge factor involved in this as well. Because like I said once before, it is Bathsheba's grandfather. And he knows what David did to his granddaughter and her husband. Could be some lingering revenge that's out there. And we know Absalom is a hater of his dad. But the brides that are left behind, they get abused. They get mistreated. But don't worry about it if you're going through it. Manage the house well. The king's coming back. The king's coming back.
Amen.
All right. But there's something else here. David prays a prayer. He says, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Now, I don't know if a spy came back and gave him word that Absalom's, you know, sleeping with his brides. I don't know if he got wind. He eventually found out. But when he prayed that prayer, when do you think David wanted God to move and start turning the advice of Ahithophel to foolishness? Right then and there. Right then and there. Work with me now. Put yourself in David's position. David has prayed a prayer that Ahithophel's counsel be turned to foolishness. But I'm telling you, what Ahithophel told Absalom was really wise counsel as it pertains to the current situation in the world. It looks like, stay with me now, it looks like
David's prayer ain't getting answered because his counsel, Ahithophel's counsel, has not been turned to foolishness yet. It's not happening probably when David wants it to happen, and he's prayed this prayer, and he was in a good place when he prayed the prayer, but it looks like the prayer ain't being answered. David, putting yourself in David's position, what do you do when you pray a prayer and it seems like it's not being answered? We know, because we know how the story ends, how God's going to move. But in this particular instance right now, David's prayed a prayer. We're reading a story, and it looks like God ain't moving on the prayer because the advice that Ahithophel gives is really good counsel as it pertains to the world. What do you do when you pray and it looks like God isn't moving? What can David do? What does he have at his disposal? Talk to me. He's got confidence in the prayer. You say he's got, I got to write, well, it's being recorded. So we got confidence. You're saying David probably has confidence in the prayer. Gotcha. Because the prayer, he was in right standing with God. He was on Mount Olives. He was on the way up. He was repenting. He was weeping. He was mourning. And he had new hope. Even though the situation looked bleak, he had hope because his hope was in the Lord as he was going up to worship. And he prayed that prayer. Yeah, he was in good shape. Yeah, yeah. So he prayed a good prayer. What else?
He knew that God heard him.
He knew that God heard him. How do we know that God heard him? Because he was in right standing with God. He had humbled himself.
He had faith.
He had faith. Faith in what?
He had faith in his God.
Have faith in God. You know what? Even if God says no to your prayers, we ought to praise him and give him thanks because he's God. If God never answers another one of my prayers, if he never does anything else for me, he's still worthy of praise because he's God. And besides that, he still forgave me of my sins. Back in chapter 12, he said, you know what? You've given the enemies of the kingdom the opportunity to blaspheme, but I have forgiven you and you shall not die. If he never does anything else, I know I shall not die. Because I have everlasting life with him. But he still says I can have abundant life down here, so I still pray. So yeah, by faith. What else?
He remembers how God saved him before.
Oh, good gracious, man. I was sharing this with the inmates earlier today, and that's one of the things they said. He remembered that he delivered him before. And if he did it once, he can do it again.
And again and again.
And again and again. Same God. In fact, I've built my confidence in some areas of my life because God just keeps moving in that area. And so when tough times come in that particular area, I'm like, oh, that's just God. Let me see how he's going to get glory out of this. Yes, because he's proven it before. Hey, David's been on the run before. David stayed on the run for years. David stayed in caves when Saul was after him. And God still delivered him and raised him up so he can do it again. So that's good faith. Yeah, God has a track record for hearing prayers and delivering people. What else? What else? What else? What else can encourage David, even though it seems like the prayer is not being answered? What else? What else? What else? What else? What else?
The promise.
Going to establish his kingdom. Absolutely. He's not going to establish the kingdom with Absalom because Absalom just cut that right there. Even though it was a bloodline, it was no longer a spiritual line. So, yeah, okay. What else?
Hold on.
Hold on to what?
His promise.
Hold on to his promise, okay. Amen. Anything else? Y'all are missing it. No. You got everything right. Everything you said is correct. And worthy of us to be able to stand.
Rejoice.
Pardon me?
Rejoice.
Yeah, amen. Rejoice. Even when he says no, rejoice. Even if he delays, rejoice. So let me tell you a story. And some of you have heard it before. But as I was looking at this scripture, I remember this story. I worked for IBM and was doing quite well. This more than 10 years ago. And I was making well over six figures in Montgomery. That's pretty good.
Amen.
And the contract ended. I had a team of about eight folks working for me here in Montgomery. We had a long-term contract. And then one day, the contract ended, and the customer said, "Oh, we don't need you guys anymore." So my team, the offer that we had was, well, you can go where there's work, because there was no more work for that contract in Montgomery. Couldn't get over to Gunner. So I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? So my team just went different places. Some of them went to D.C. Some of them went to Atlanta. Some of them found other jobs or whatever. A lot of people had to relocate. I was still here. And I'm sitting here going, man, what am I going to do? And they offered me all kinds of jobs in different cities. D.C. We'll move you to D.C. We got plenty of work in D.C. for you. We want to keep you. And I'm like, that's great. You're going to up my salary? Nope. But, you know, you'll get your regular promotions or whatever. I'm like, wait a minute. You're going to beam my six figures from here to D.C.? Oh, I'll be a poor man making six figures in D.C. And I went to the wife. I'm like, hey, there's no jobs here for me. Maybe we need, you know, do we need to, good luck to you, because we ain't moving. If you got a job in D.C., you have to take a job in D.C., but we're not moving. So I'm like, okay, I don't have her support. I did not know what to do. Because every time I applied for a job, it was not in Montgomery. In the midst of this, as IBM was getting ready to let me go, the chaplain at the prison says, I'm in the military, I'm in the reserves. I go, okay, goody for you. I'm getting ready to deploy for a year. Of all the volunteers that I have working for me, I'm choosing you to be the pastor of the prison church and all the religious activities on the Christian side for the year that I'm gone. Right when all this was happening. In fact, before I found out that IBM was letting me go, I got this blessing to be the pastor. And I had never been a pastor or a head chaplain of anything until this happened. I knew that was from the Lord. But now I've lost my job. Losing my job. And everybody wants me to leave Montgomery and work someplace else. And every job that I applied for in town, I didn't get. In fact, they barely called me back. So I kept thinking, I'm going to have to move. I'm going to have to move. Al, I'm going to have to move. You know the story. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to move. But I started turning down every job offer that was not in Montgomery. Because I could not move to D.C. and still be the chaplain at the prison. I could not move to Atlanta and still be the chaplain at the prison. The only thing that I knew, everything that you said, I knew. God's moved before. Faith, standing on the promises. He's God, even if I got on unemployment. Everything you said is true. But this is what helped me as well. I knew that the prison gig was from the Lord. It's all I knew. I didn't know how God was going to move. I didn't know how I was going to make it work. I just knew that was from the Lord. And while I didn't have a job, I knew that. So when Atlanta came calling, I turned it down. When more jobs from D.C. came calling, I turned it down. And then God moved. And IBM, some of you know the testimony, IBM came back and said, you know what? We have absolutely no work for you in Montgomery. You know that. But we want to keep you. So we're going to let you work in Montgomery. You can work from home. And we'll put about 30 people under you. and we'll give you a pay raise. And they let me do that for about a couple years. It was just enough to get me settled and put more stuff on my resume so I could find a job that was local. And you heard me say it before. God blessed and moved because I stood right there. And now, instead of having to go to work, I got to work in my underwear. Praise the Lord. But I didn't move because I stood on what I knew. I thought about this testimony while I was reading these scriptures. Here you go. Back to the lesson. What does David know? Everything you said is correct. But what else does David know? Talk to me. Look at the scriptures. I know he knows God's goodness. But what else does he know?
He knows he was chosen.
He knows he was chosen. Absolute. Good answer. What else does he know? While it looks like God's not answering the prayer, what else does he know? Lee.
No, that's okay.
But, Al's here.
If I was David,
okay,
and I know that I'm under judgment,
right,
and I make this prayer,
right,
and it doesn't get answered,
right,
and I know that judgment may not have been fulfilled just yet,
right, I got to go through the judgment, right.
My prayer is being banked.
Oh. Prayer's being banked. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Possibly. Yeah. God is waiting because he's waiting for the judgment to be fulfilled, so the prayer's being banked. Wait a minute, Lee. I think you might have something here. God is praying for Ahithophel. Lee.
Pinch him on his face.
His wife ain't there. Al, don't pinch him on the face. No. I didn't see this. Think about this now. Because we just read, God already prophesied and said, here's the judgment. Your neighbor's going to sleep with your wives. David prays, make the advice of, Ahithophel foolishness. Well, it doesn't happen yet. I like what you said, Lee. I'm going to have to pontificate on this and see what's going on with it. Because perhaps God says, I hear your prayer, but I've got to wait for this to be played out before you can work on it. Woo! I might have to think about that. You just messed up my theology there, Lee. Okay, good. And Lee just gave you something else that I wasn't even thinking about. But there's more. What else does he have? What does he know that will encourage him to see whether God's going to answer the prayer? What does he know that will encourage him, even though it looks like God delays and he may not even answer the way he wants him to answer? What else does David have? Talk to me. Pardon me?
He has the shot.
Oh, my goodness. Woman of God, you are the only person out of about 50 people that I've talked to today, they got that one right.
What was that?
Say it again.
He has Hushai, who's there working for him.
He has Hushai. When David prayed the prayer, what happened immediately after he prayed the prayer? Hushai showed up. David connects Hushai showing up. After he prays the prayer, he goes to worship, Hushai shows up, and David connects, Hushai must be connected to my prayer, God must be, because this is just making too much sense, and I know that Hushai, if Hushai is there, then he's in place to turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. So while it looks
While it looks like the prayer is not being answered, while it looks like the prayer is being delayed, while it looks like God might say no, guess what David has? He has everything that you said. He's got a history with God. He knows who God is. He's got faith. But God also allowed him to have a Hushai. Because while the prayer might not be answered right now in the manner that he wants it to be answered, he knows this. He knows that Hushai is in place. And that there's still an opportunity for his prayer to be answered, which we will see in chapter 17. Why are you so excited, Chuck? Because of this. Everything you said, it might be in the bank, might be waiting for some other things to pass. Get that, understand that. He's still God, even if he says no. Sometimes God says no. Get that, understand that. What's your Hushai? Don't be so spiritual, but be spiritual. What is it that you know in the natural that God has allowed that might be connected to your prayer that you could stand on that as well as his promise and his word? For me, God opened a door and blessed me with the prison ministry. I knew then and there all I got to do is stand on what I already know. What is it? What's your Hushai? What are you praying about and you're waiting for God to move, but you don't see him moving yet? But what is it that you can stand on that allows you to keep going to the throne and still praying? What is it that he's allowed you to hold on to and know in the natural that will allow you to stay on your knees in the spiritual and wait for God to move? What's your Hushai? What do you know? If you can figure out what it is that God has already blessed you with, that you know, it'll help you be faithful in waiting on him in your prayer life. Another example. I had a job. Birmingham. Driving an hour and a half one way. And I always came back, round trip. And when they offered me the job, I'm like, you're crazy. I'm driving back and forth to Auburn. That's just 45 minutes. Now you're telling me to double my trip? That's foolishness. That don't make any sense. And the guy said, give it a try. I said, well, no, you're going to have to sweeten the pot because I got to know whether this is from the Lord or not. And the job was a perfect job. It was just in the wrong city. It was a job that would allow me to create my own office and my own methodology. Great resume builder, but it was in the wrong city. But I prayed. And you know what I got? I got peace. Because I knew it wasn't going to last always, but for some reason God wanted me to take this job, and I had peace about the job. Now, after about a month of driving back and forth, guess what? I'm like, hey, Lord, I don't know how long I'm supposed to be doing this, but we got to speed the clock up on this one. You know what helped me hang in there? You know what helped me get Sirius Radio so I could praise the Lord on the way up and on the way back down? You know what kept me from just wanting to cuss people out and just look at people all mean or whatever and just, you know. You know what helped me? What I knew. You know what I knew? I knew it was a blessing from the Lord. And if it's a blessing from the Lord, I knew to hang in there and keep being prayerful about it because God will move after a while. It took a year and a half, but God moved. But I knew what I knew. Have you ever been in a job or a situation like that where it's like, ooh, you're praying for the job, you're praying for the opportunity, you're praying for the contract, and all of a sudden God moves and you just start praising God. Ooh, God, thank you. He's a good God, man. He blessed me with this opportunity. And then after a couple months with the opportunity, you start getting, man, it's tough even coming to work. Yeah, you're off the scale. You know what? And you pray, God, deliver me. God, ooh, God, I didn't do no job. But you told me and testified
that it was a blessing from the Lord. Stand on what you know. If it was a blessing from the Lord at the beginning, you're telling me it turned into a curse right now? God's not through yet. Stand on what you know. And after a year and a half of going up and down the road to Birmingham, I wound up being a scrum master. What the heck is that, a scrum master? And then I got a new gig or whatever as a contractor. Wasn't even a permanent position. And then they said, hey, do you want to be director of this company or whatever in this office? A director? Woo, that sounds like more money. Yeah, I want to. Let me interview. And I interviewed. And guess what they said? Well, one of the things we need is we need a scrum master. If I had never stood on the promises of God and how he moved, I never would have been in position for my next season. David is in position for his next season. Just because it looks like he says no, stand on what you know. He will always give you something in the spiritual, but also in the physical, to let you know he's still at work. What do you got?
I just want this class to know that important to what you're talking about, that this class is kind of a good shot for us. I really appreciate the standing in the gap, because without the encouragement of the natural, sometimes when you're alone and at home by yourself, even though you're praying to God and you know he's going to come through, you just don't have that physical relationship with other people when you're by yourself. So when we come here, we gather that from every single one of you and really appreciate it. It makes a huge difference.
Thank you. I'm gonna stop the recording, but find your Hushai.